Welcome to Optimize My Life, the ultimate radio show where we unlock the secrets to living our best lives. Now, before we dive into this exciting journey of self-improvement and empowerment, I want to take a moment to thank our incredible sponsor, The Hope Collection, for making this show possible. Their unwavering commitment to spreading hope and positivity in our lives is truly remarkable. We believe in the power of interaction, so we want you to be a part of this incredible journey. Call in, write to us, or connect on social media. We'd love to hear your questions, experiences, and challenges. Together, we'll create a thriving community of like-minded individuals, supporting each other to thrive and shine.
Well, good afternoon, folks. I'm running a little bit late here today. My name is Bob Oakley, and I'm the host today on the Hope Talk Radio Show, where we talk about things that are of interest to you. The focus in our program is on you, either as an individual or as a family, or as an organization that you're looking to get some help with, because our motto is helping people and helping them to help other people. It's a pay it forward philosophy, something that we do because I believe that's what the good Lord wants us to do. That's what it says in the good book. It says God wants us to love Him. And He wants us to love His people, and He wants us to help them in any way that we possibly can. And He will give us whatever we need to help people. And I can see that every day in my life. When I'm working with people, many times I will have a mental block. At my age, that's not hard to do. But anyway, I'll have a mental block, and I will ask for help, and he delivers. He gives me help whenever I need it, and I've experienced that many times in my life. Our program today is sponsored by Optimize My Life, and we feel that everybody needs their life to be optimized. That particular program was started by Dr. Joel Griffin, and he also started this program, the Hope Collection and the Hope Talk Radio Show. One day he called me and said, we'd been friends for years, and he called me and said, Bob, I'm starting up a new program, and I would like you to be involved with it. What do you think about it? And he told me about the Talk Radio Show and how we were going to use it to reach out to more people across the world. And so I thought it was a good idea, but I wasn't sure I wanted to be involved in it. But anyway, we had a meeting. A bunch of the leaders in the Hope Collection got together in upstate New York, where they lived at that time, him and his wife, Ardith. And we talked about the program. And I was, as I said, I was apprehensive in the beginning to get involved in something like this. But I decided after a while, when I tried it out, because that's what I told him I would do. I would try it and see if it felt good for me, and if it was something that I felt I could help other people with. I'm very, very pleased that the good Lord put me in that position to help all of you and to offer my experiences and my wisdom that I've received from the Lord, and the skills that I've developed over the years to help more people. And that's what it's all about, is helping and helping and helping and helping. And that's why we call it, we're giving people hope. We give you, this program is broadcast at lunchtime in the East here. I live in New Jersey, by the way, and I'm broadcasting from New Jersey. And I reach out, so it's noontime when we start the program here, out in out west in California. It's only about 9:15 now, or something like that, 9 o'clock. But anyway, this program was started, as I said, as another way of reaching out to people and talking to them about things that are important to them in their life, and figure out ways that we could help them and make recommendations to them and work with them. I work with people as long as they will want me to work with them. Through this program and other programs that I've been involved with over the years, I've been helping people for more than 40 years, closer to 50 years now, helping them to help them and their family and make for a better life for them, because that's what we try to, that's what we want to accomplish. We want to have a better life for you and your family and your friends and whoever it is that you know. I'm taking a sip of my coffee. That's why I hesitated there. I love doing this, by the way. I love working with people, and that's why I do it. And I'm 85 years old now, so I have the Lord has blessed me, given me good cognitive abilities and good physical abilities that I can still help people. And last week I helped a lady in my town here. She goes to my church, and she had a problem with her shower unit in her bathroom. And so I went over there and looked at it, and I had to cut a piece out of the wall. I said, I'm gonna have to take a piece of the sheetrock off in the back of the shower. And the unit was not working right. And I said, it's going to have to be replaced because it was an old style unit. And so anyway, we did that. I did that, and we had this unsoldered the connections and resoldered them back in. And then put in a new unit, and we put in a Moen. It's called Moen. That's a company that makes them, and it's one that feeds the shower on the top, and it feeds the tub on the bottom, the tub, and it mixes up the water depending on where you put the handle, because it has one handle on it. Anyway, we did that, and that's how I help people. I basically charged her just for the parts, and I told her, I said, she thanked me, and I said, well, that's how we one of the ways that we help people. And I told her about the Hope Collection, and she sounded very interested. And we're gonna be talking some more, she and I, because She took me around the house and showed me other things that she wants to have fixed. She wants to put new doorknobs on a lot of the doors, and she wants a big hole in the wall in the basement. She wants that repaired, and so we're going to do a number of other things for her. So my friend Larry Casperine, who goes to my church. He and I have done a lot of projects together. He helped me a little bit on the shower unit. It's always to have someone there to hand you tools and hold the light for you and do other things that you need to have done. Run out to the car and get something that you don't have with you. Larry's very helpful in that way. And he and I have worked together on many projects. As a matter of fact, he had an old house that he and his wife and his two sons lived in, and they decided to sell that house and buy a different house. Well, the old house needed a lot of work, so we worked on that together and did the repairs to all the things that he needed repair on. So that's an area that, and then in the new house, there were a number of things that he wanted to fix. and change. And his wife has she raises dogs to bring in some extra income. And they're full of little dogs, really small dogs. And I think they're part terrier, but I don't know what all they have. But anyway, and then she sells them to make extra income. And then, so anyway, there was some things that she wanted fixed for the dogs so that she could work on them. And I built her a few things that would help her in that. And then she loves working with plants. So she wanted to have some, they have like all glass enclosed porch on one corner of the house. And she wanted to put some shelves in there and some lower shelves and some higher shelves where she could raise her plants. And we did that, and we fixed up some of the two of the fans need to be replaced, the ceiling fans. And we did those kinds of things and did some electrical work for her in the bathroom and him. And in the bedrooms, I replaced most of the outlets in the whole house. And so we did all those kinds of things. And I didn't charge him anything for it because Larry and I are very good friends. And we've been involved with a number of projects over the years through the Knights of Columbus, which is a Catholic organization in our parish. And Larry held offices in that particular organization. And he invited me to join it, and I joined it, and we worked together on different projects through the Knights of Columbus for the church and for the community. So those are some of the things that we've done together, Larry and I. And one of my sons, Randy, is very active in his church, and I've worked with him on a lot of projects that he's involved with. So we do that to help people. But see, there's a lot more personal things that we do to help people. Things like if a person needs housing, maybe they're living in a small apartment and their family is expanding, and they need to get a bigger apartment or they want to buy a house. Well, we help them in those areas. So housing is one of the areas that we work with in people. And I've worked a lot with the Spanish immigrants that come into this country, teaching them the English language. And I work with six families at a time. We go into their house once a week, each of the families, and we would talk about learning the English language. And we used a workbook that showed how the difference between the Spanish and the English language in words and in sentence structures and in developing writing skills and speaking skills and all those different things. We work with them to learn the English language. And they used to motivate me because I could see the smiles on their faces when they learned things and they were able to communicate better in the English language, because they needed it not only if they were working in their jobs, they needed it. They also needed to communicate, because when they come to this country, most of the people in this country are English speaking people. And so if they could only speak Spanish, they couldn't communicate properly. Well, some of them were interested in developing a business of their own. They wanted to start off with a small home-based business or maybe a small store where they could sell food items and personal care items and things like that. So we helped them. I helped them, and Larry helped some too with getting things set up. And my son Randy. Is very, very good at doing things like that. He's a tremendous in the construction skills. He's very, very skilled in that, and he does things very, very quickly. compared to the old man here, I don't do them as quickly as he does anymore. I used to be able to do them very fast, but not anymore. Anyway, so those are some of the things, just a few of the things that we work on. Helping people to be able to communicate better, helping people to understand computer systems that we work with. We have many sites that we work with through the whole collection. We work with one that's called Optimize My Life. And we find that everybody needs to have their life up. In other words, we can help them in ways that they just don't know how to get started in something. So we help them to get started, and we make recommendations to them, and then follow up on those recommendations with them. And I have been working with some people throughout my life for more than 40 years, and working with them in different areas that they're interested in. And different areas that they want to improve, not only their own lifestyle, but also the lifestyle of their family and some of their friends that they know. So those are just some other areas. We work with people in education. If they're interested in improving or increasing their education, we have programs from first grade all the way up to graduate school and college. And we have a whole program of certifications that people can use. If they want to get certified in a particular area, we help them in those areas. By the way, I've gotten a couple of those certifications myself. I was interested in becoming a certified life coach and a virtual assistant in those two areas. Virtual assistant, if you're not familiar with that, is a program that helps people to work with computer systems to help them to find out information that they might be looking for, to help them to do searches and to help them to learn things and to help them to get help with their taxes and a whole lot of other things that we help people with. Taxes, by the way, is something I've been doing for more than 60 years in my life. Because I always do my own taxes. I do my personal taxes with my family, and I do my business taxes. And I've done that for as I said, many, many years. And I've had as many as 12 people that I was working with at one time to help them to learn how to do their own taxes. And over the years, I've used a program called TurboTax. And it's been very helpful, but I changed a couple of years ago to a program called Free Tax USA, and you can basically get your taxes done yourself for free. And it's an organized program. You just go through it step by step. It asks you questions, you answer the questions, and then by the end, when you've got all the questions answered, figures out your tax bill for you. If you are owed taxes, it will tell you what amount you owe and how to where to send the money. And you can even do it by using the internet. Pay your taxes by the internet through to the IRS and into the state governments. And there's just some other areas. I'm grambling on here, but I'm trying to cover a number of the areas that we work with people on. I started helping some of my children in doing their taxes. By the way, I have a large family. We have 11 children between my wife and I in our family. And now I think it's 37 or 38 children and grandchildren. The grandchildren and great-grandchildren. And some of them are not in the United States, they're in other countries around the world now. Puerto Rico is not another country, but one of my sons and his family moved to Puerto Rico a few years ago. And they still own property in the United States, but they also have property that they own in Puerto Rico, him and his wife. And they went there because her daughter, his wife's daughter, from a previous marriage, she She met this young man from Puerto Rico, and they got married later on, and now they have children. And so they're him and my son Stephen and his wife Marie decided that they were going to move to Puerto Rico to support her daughter and their family, and they come back to the mainland of the United States a couple of times a year. They have another house in Massachusetts, where they stay for sometimes a month or more as they stay there, but he's done very well in the insurance business. He had his own insurance agency, and she's done very well in financial area, helping people to improve their financial situation. So I'm just telling you all these things, rambling on here, just to let you know that, see, I believe that if you're doing something that's good and you teach your children how to do the same thing, that will come on as a tradition in your family, a family tradition. And by the way, it's I know it's at least three generations now where members of my family are helping other people and helping them to help other people, whether it's in their taxes or whether it's learning a new language or whether it's education or whatever it is. I'm very proud of all my children because they're all working not only to make for a better life in their family, their immediate family, but also to make for a better life for other people. And they're carrying on that tradition. My children are also very much involved in the spiritual aspect of life. They all believe in God, and they all believe that the good Lord has a purpose for them and for the people that they know and the family members that they have. So that's something that my first wife and I tried to instill into our six children that we had together. She's no longer with us. She died of cancer. The doctors were more interested in making money on surgery and chemo and those kinds of things, radiation therapy, than they were in healing her. But see, they were trained that way. Those doctors were trained that way. That's what the medical profession pushes, that these are ways to help people with their chronic illnesses and giving them drugs all the time. I don't believe in drugs. I'm a naturalist, and I believe in that God has given us the ability in our bodies to heal naturally. If we just take care of our body, we provide the right amount of nutrition for it, and we provide the right amount of exercise and other things in our life, because He has given us His Holy Spirit, and it's within our bodies, and He calls it the temple that He wants us to live. He wants us to take care of the temple, which is our body, which houses the Holy Spirit, and so that's another area that we help people in, is a spiritual area. Every day, every single day of my life, I promote that. I promote it to my wife. I promote it to my children. I promote it to my grandchildren. I promote it to my friends like Larry and others in my life. And every single day, I am a promoter of the good Lord and the blessings that He gives us every day. And I thank Him every day for all of those things. And so I'm... you know, I'm talking about all of this regarding my family and my experiences, but I don't want anybody listening to think that I'm bragging, because I'm not. I don't have a high ego. I think a high ego comes from the other guy that is down below in hell. I don't think it comes from God. It comes from the guy that's opposing the Lord all the time, which is Satan. And I don't try to make it appear that I have a high ego. I'm a very optimistic person, and that's one of the reasons why I'm very interested in helping other people, because the good Lord has helped me all my life, and He's given me good health, He's given me good cognitive abilities at my age of 85, and He's given us given me the ability to keep performing the skills that He gives us, because I believe if it says in the Bible, if you don't use them, you lose them. So we have to use the skills that He's given us if we want to continue to perform in that area. So that's why I helped the lady with her plumbing problem. That's why I helped Larry with his housing, in his housing, and why I've helped many, many other people. One of the Spanish families I was dealing with learning the English language, I helped them in their housing situation. They had enough money for a down payment on a house, so they wanted to be able to buy a home of their own. So we looked at houses, and I gave them my opinion because I've had a lot of experience in that area in housing. I own properties of my own; it's one of my businesses, and so I helped them to decide what they wanted to do. I finally decided to recommend to them that maybe they would just get a bigger apartment and live in that for a while before they get tie themselves into all the expenses associated with owning your own house, because there are a lot of expenses associated with owning your own house. And I also recommended to them when they get a house, and they should look for one that they could use that had two units. It had a portion of the house that would give them a nice living quarters, but also have a small apartment attached to it that they could rent out to someone else that would help to pay the expenses of the house. I did that myself for many years. In fact, the second home that I bought, my wife and I bought, it would allow two families. And then I took another house that I bought, and I converted it into a three family, and it was a one and a half family. but it had like 14 rooms in it now, and I still own that house. I should say I own half of it, because my partner at that time is owns the other half, and both of those houses. So anyway, but that's how I did. When I was working, I worked for a large corporation called AT&T. At that time, in the 60s and 70s and 80s, it was considered the largest corporation in the world. And I advanced a number of times through that corporation because I was continuing my education, and I ended up obtaining two degrees, one in electronics engineering and one in business. And because I did the engineering for a while, but then I decided I didn't like it. I wanted to get into my own business, and I had. Actually, my first business was when I was in high school. I started a candy bar business when I was in high school. You couldn't do this today because the school administrations wouldn't allow it. They would think you were selling drugs through your locker. Well, I had boxes of candy bars in my locker at that time, and during breaks and so forth, people. Friends of mine that wanted to have a candy bar to lift them up a little bit, get a little more sugar in your body, right? So anyway, I sold candy bars at that time, and I did that for a couple of years. And I I didn't make a lot of money on it because I didn't charge an extraordinary price. But that was my first business. And I had a business of selling vegetables and fruits on the street. And that was my second business. But anyway, later on, I got into housing and I got into learning the construction trade and so forth. Because if you have your own properties and you do the work yourself, you're saving a lot of money by doing that, especially at today's prices. My gosh, the contractors charge so much today. Carpenters and electricians and plumbers and all of those people just really charge so much today for their services. And I can understand why. Because if they have someone helping them, they have to pay for that person. And if they need special tools, they have to buy those tools. So I understand that. If they need ladders to work on a house, they have to buy those ladders. And those are all very expensive. Materials and tools are very expensive today also in the construction business. So, but I don't do too much of that anymore. I've turned most of that over to my two oldest sons. My son Bob and my son Randy. They are both, they have learned several trades themselves, and they're like me. When they want to do something and they don't know how to do it, they start asking questions. I found that asking suppliers a lot of time, the suppliers of materials, they have developed an expertise in choosing the right tools and the right materials for the job. And so they can help you. And asking other carpenters and plumbers and and electricians. My dad taught me some of those trades when I was still a kid, when I was in school for grade school and high school. I worked right with him, and I learned how to work on things like trucks and things like tractors and cars, and because he did all that stuff himself, and he taught me. That was one of the traditions that he handed down to me, and I taught some of my children. I didn't teach them all, but I taught some of them to do that also, and they still do that today. I lost my train of thought there for a minute. So anyway, traditions are very important in the family, and passing those traditions on to our children, to our grandchildren, and our great grandchildren. I have some of my grandchildren that are also working in the construction trades now. And my son who moved to Puerto Rico, he has the skills in the construction trade. And he's a statistical analysis. It was his background and his education. And he had his master's degree in statistical analysis. And he started his insurance company. So those were not reasons why he did the construction business. But he did the construction business because he learned the basics from me and from my brothers, who are both in the construction business. And that's how he got into those businesses. And his grandfather, my first wife's father, was a very successful contractor, and he and his sons did construction work. And I worked for him for a while too, for a couple of years. And until we moved away, we moved to New Jersey from Illinois, where his family was located. I learned a lot from him. I learned a lot from my dad. I learned a lot from him. I learned a lot from my two brothers, because my two brothers went to school for the construction trades. And they learned a lot of those things. That's how family traditions are passed on to the next generation and the next generation and the next generation. And that's what that's one of the things that we talk about in this particular segment of the talk radio show, is the family unit and passing and honoring family traditions and our family relationships, and so I am very happy to do that. When I decided to basically turn my construction customers over to my sons, my two sons, my older son Bob and my younger his younger brother Randy, because they have their own businesses. Randy started out in the painting business. He learned to paint when we bought our first house in Southern Illinois. My first house I bought. I ended up painting the whole house on the inside and the outside, and my sons and my daughters, by the way, all helped, and I taught them. Some of them were very little, and I handed them a paintbrush, and I showed them how you do it with a paintbrush. I wasn't an expert in that field, but I learned it by doing it. That's something I belong to. In high school, I belonged to an organization called the Future Farmers of America, and their motto was learn by doing. And so I followed that motto, learn by doing. Learn how to do something new that you have never done by doing it and asking questions and getting information from other people that have skills in that area. And I did that all the time. And I'm thankful that the Lord motivated me to do those things and motivated me to teach my children and to teach other people as well. Because my friend Larry, when he and I worked together on a construction project, he's learning all the time because he doesn't have those skills, but from the things that I've taught not only my children and grandchildren, but also I taught friends of mine how to do certain things, and my wives, I taught my wives how to do certain things. My wife was she was a very intelligent woman. She had a very high IQ, up in the 180s. range, and she was valedictorian in her class, and very, very intelligent woman, and she passed a lot of that on, her intelligence, her abilities learning things through education. She taught them, and she was promoting that all the time to them, and I was too, by the way, because I know that the fact that I took the time to go to college. For 12 and a half years, I went to college. And you might say, well, how come it took you so long? Well, first of all, I got 2 degrees. And secondly, I only went to college part-time because I was working full-time in a full-time job for AT&T. And I was working part-time on the weekends to make extra income for our family because we had a large family. We had 5 children with my first wife. We had 5 children in 5 years, the first 5 years we were married. So I had a large family in 5 years, you know. And then the 6th one came on a few years later. And then when she passed, I remarried to another woman that had 1 child, a daughter, who is she and I have done many, many things together over the years. She became an attorney, but she needed help in that because she didn't know anything about being an attorney, and she didn't know anything about law. And I went to law school. I learned a lot of things in law. I'm not an attorney, but I know a lot about the law. And in certain areas, certainly in the housing area and certainly in the construction area, I know a lot about the law and a lot of legal things because when you have a large family, you encounter a lot of legal things that you have to deal with in your lifetime. So anyway, I helped her through through law school. We would sit down almost every day, and we would go over her assignments and go over, and I would ask her questions and help her to get the answers. And we'd do that over and over and over. And then when she finished the law education, when we finished the law education with her and she had to go get the bar, pass the bar exam, I worked with her on that with the workbooks, and we paid for a program to help her online. And then she finally, I think after the third attempt, she passed the law, the bar exam. And she's been now for about 15, 20 years now, been practicing law in different areas. And she's an expert research person. She researches tremendously any particular area of law that needs to be researched. And she has helped many, many other attorneys to find out information to support what they're working on. And she ended up becoming a teacher for the other attorneys in her firm. And she worked for one of the largest firms in the world. And they weren't that way when she first started with them, because they kept buying other companies, smaller firms, and firms in other countries. And some of her first clients in that firm were located in China and Japan. And so she had to work with them due to the time differences between the United States and those countries. She had to work at night. And when she started with them she said, you know, or they said they didn't want her coming in at midnight to work and sit in New York City. And so she recommended to them, well, how about we set up a little office in my apartment and set up the computers I need and the systems that I need and so forth to do the job at home. And they agreed to that. They thought it was a good recommendation, and it saved them some money because they didn't have to have space for her in the office where they were. They could use that space for someone else. So anyway, she did that for a number of years. I don't know, maybe 15 years or so. And then a couple of years ago, she got a notice for an opening in a firm in Wilmington, Delaware. Her office was in New York at home, but it was her main office was in New York City. So she decided to apply for that job, and she got the job, and she became a managing director in that firm. And so she's done very well, very, very well in that business. And she continues to do that today, and she loves it. So I ask her all the time, how are you, and how is your job? How are you feeling about that? And she says, I love it, Dad. She says, I love working with the people. I love helping the new attorneys and so forth. And she's been doing that for years. But anyway, that's just one example of how we passed skills, and we passed information onto our families and onto our children and onto our grandchildren, and working with them in their relationships and helping them in any situation that comes up in their life. So I had my youngest daughter had a serious problem with drugs, and because she was associating with people who had that problem. And so I worked with her on that. Hi, Larry. I just noticed that you dialed in. How you doing, my friend?
Very well, thank you. How about yourself?
Oh, I'm doing great. By the way, folks that are listening, my friend Larry and I is the one. He's the one that I've been talking about. How he and I have been working together on a number of projects over the years, and we are very, very best friends. And I am so happy that the good Lord has put Larry in my life, and and me in his life. So thank you, Larry, for all you've done to help me over the years. And you've introduced me to other venues, that other programs and other things that that people that we can use to help other people. For example, the Elks Club and the Knights of Columbus and the veterans organizations. Larry is a veteran, by the way, folks. So he's very, I thank him all the time for serving his country. Larry, you want to talk a little bit about what you did in helping out in the Air Force?
Yes, I was a crew chief on the F-4 Phantom. I went in the Air Force January 1969, and like I said, I was a crew chief on the F-4 Phantom, and my plane was 64-856 was the first plane I was working on. I was an assistant crew chief, and then I got my own plane. It was 64-857. And I worked on that plane from 69 until July of 72, when I got an early out. And, I thank God that I was the crew chief on the F-4, and it was, I had a great time. I made a lot of friends. In fact, I knew a friend of mine. He lives down in South Jersey, and anytime I go down for the Elks convention, he says stay at his house, and I always stay at his house because he's such a close friend of mine. Yeah.
Yeah, that's great. You know, it's really good to have close friends and to associate with them and keep that friendship. I had some friends in Illinois that I went to high school with, and I till the day that they died, two of my very best friends, my friend Charlie and my friend Kenny, and they were both we kept in touch over the years. Even when I moved to New Jersey, Charlie was a barber. And he started barbering when we were in high school. We would go to a friend's house, and we had a little shop. They had a little shop set up there, he and one of his other friends. And they taught each other how to cut the hair and how to shave people if they needed a shave. And so, but anyway, all of my life, my adult life from high school on, I had those two guys as my main friends. There was another one of my friends, his name was Donnie, and he and I played basketball together, and we were on a team, and Donnie went in the service, went into the Army. I didn't go at the time because I had three children at that time, or actually two children and one on the way. And but anyway, the military. Ooh, your doggies are barking.
Yeah, they like to bark.
My older brother was in the Army, and I volunteered to go in the Army, but they wouldn't take me because I had children. And I was married and had a wife, and they said, "No, we got plenty of other guys we can take now. We don't need you. We'll reclassify you." So they reclassified me as a 3A father, and I never was called up because at that time that we had the draft, so I didn't get to go into the military even though I wanted to. I don't know where I lost my chain of thought there for a minute. Anyway, Larry and I have done so many projects together, working on houses and working on projects with the Knights of Columbus and with the Elks Club and even the veterans organizations. Larry, you want to just mention some of those organizations that you're working with and the veterans?
We have what we call a Veterans Breakfast Club, and we meet on Tuesday mornings, and We have breakfast at the VFW that is in Hampton. It's right down the street from me, so it's you know, it's very convenient, and it's a very nice place to. And like I say, we meet on Tuesdays normally, and you know, actually, I went there this past Tuesday, but what happened was because it was snowing that they canceled the meeting, but you know, no big deal, you know. Like I said, it's, you know, I guess they were worried about people driving, you know what I mean? Because a lot of the people, I'm 75 years old, and we have guys that are older than I am, you know what I mean? So it's like, you know, when you get our age, you got to slow down a little bit, you know what I mean?
When you get a bunch of veterans together like that, I've gone with you to a couple of those, but they are always exchanging experiences that they had when they were in the military, and it's very interesting to hear about those things, and it helps the guys to remember those things and to talk about those things. And so I know that's a great gathering, a social gathering for ex-military people, for veterans. And then you're also involved with the VA a little bit. You go down to the VA hospital, right?
Yep. Yep. Yeah, I used to go to the one in New Jersey, but I found out that the people there, they weren't very friendly. And then I started going to the one that's in, it's in Allentown, and it's about the same distance. But over there, you know, you walk in, and the lady says to me, "Can I help you, sir?" And I says, "Excuse me." I says, I was only a sergeant." She goes, "No, no." She goes, We like all veterans," she says. Well, I says, "Well, thank you for that." You know what I mean? And it was like, wow.
Yeah.
You know what
I
mean? Like, because the other one, you go to the one that's in Lyons, and I've seen a guy. He walks in, and you know, this guy was from World War II. You know, so he's a little bit slow. You know what I mean? So she goes, sit down over there, sit down. And I'm saying, wait a minute. You know, this guy was in his 90s. I says, I grabbed him. I sat him down. I says, you know, you should show more respect for him. I says, he's a World War II vet. You know? She goes, listen, he comes here. You should be thanking him for all he's done for you. You know what I mean?
Amen. Yep. I agree with that completely. I thank people that I see when I go to Dunkin' Donuts, and I've been going there fairly frequently lately because my wife's not home, so I go there to get a sandwich for breakfast. But anyway, if a veteran comes in, I would take the time to walk over to him and hold out my hand and shake my hand and thank him for serving him or her, whether it's a guy or a gal. I thank them for serving their country. Our country, and I did the same thing this week with a state trooper, New Jersey state trooper. He was standing there waiting for his order to be filled, and I walked over to him and I held out my hand, and he held out his hand, and we shook, and I said, "Thank you for serving our state," because he's a state trooper, and he looked at me and he laughed. He said, "Thank you very much." You know. That's one of the things that we do through the not only the Hope Collection, but another organization that we're affiliated with called the Golden Rule Society, is to show appreciation to people for things that they do to help all of us, you know. And that's why I am so happy that I'm affiliated with you, Larry, that you and I are very good friends, because I see that in you, where you're reaching out to help people. Every day, not only your family, but also people that are friends of yours and so forth, and any organizations you work with. So thank you, Larry, for all that you do. We're about out of time here now. We only have about 15 seconds So I just want to thank you, Larry, for coming on and for sharing with some of with us some of your experiences.
Thank you.
I know that Larry is a tremendous family man. Also, he's worked with he has two boys and worked with them for all of their lives, and they're both adults now. And I'm so happy. And his wife is such a wonderful woman. What country is she from now, Larry?
She's from Malaysia.
Malaysia, that's what it is. Yeah, I couldn't think of the name of it. Yeah, but beautiful woman. She's just a tremendous lady that's dedicated to her family, her husband, and her children. And you guys got married here in Canada?
We were married in Malaysia first because we went over there.
First. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then
and we
got married in the Hindu ceremony, and it's pretty cool because
I remember you showed me some pictures.
I'm the only person to be married
That's
twice
great.
To the same woman because we got married in Malaysia, and then we came back and we got married in the Catholic Church. So it was
That's great. I'm going to be doing that too. Getting married for the second time to the same woman, because we were married outside of the church, but we're going to be getting married in the church, that will be a good ceremony for us because we're both tremendous believers. We both believe in God and we believe in Christianity and we believe that. Husband and wife are devoted to each other, and we both are. And I know you and your wife are too, because you just do tremendous things together. But anyway, my wife is still down in Colombia. She was supposed to fly back today, but there was a terrible accident. Her brother, who lives down there, got hit by a truck, and he died. He died yesterday. He was in intensive care. And so I told her, you stay down there as long as you need to stay down there with him, with his family. But she was there in the hospital when he died. But she did get to see him before she, while she was down there, she got to see him. So she felt good about that. But she's going through a lot of emotional things right now because him and her were very close, and she was also very close with his wife and their two children. But anyway, I told her, you just don't worry about coming back. You stay down there as long as you need to stay down there, you know. And so that's what she's doing. I miss her a lot, but I want her to be. I think it's more important for her to be down there now. Be with his family and her daughter, because they're all mourning him, and they're all very saddened about it. But you know, God said it was time. They said it was his time. You know, it's time to go. And so we have no control over that. That's one of the areas where God controls completely. He controls when we're born, and he controls when we die. And he controls us all the time in between. Most of us don't realize that, but he does. He's in control. We are not.
Yep.
We have to try to listen to his plan for us and follow that plan. Being devoted to him is one of those things that we have to do in our lives. So anyway, I appreciate. Appreciate you and your family, and my wife appreciates you. She and Josie got along real well when they were together. The times that we came over there and visited,
right.
And my wife loves plants also, flowers and all those kinds of things. And Josie's really into that. I know she has beautiful.
Yep, she is.
Beautiful flower gardens all around the house, you know, and inside the house also. But anyway, um, I um, I'm going to end the show pretty soon because we're just you and I talking right now. But I am so thankful for having a best friend relationship with you, Larry. And I thank you for that. And I thank you for recommending to me different organizations that I can be involved with, organizations that you're already involved with. I don't know, the Elks, you've been involved for how many years now?
Over 50 years.
Wow. Wow. And you were just a young man when you joined the Elks. But I only joined the Elks a couple of years ago based on your recommendation. And based on going to a couple of meetings, and I decided a lot of my friends, other friends, are also members of the Elks, like the McCatherins and people like that that I've known for years, and done business with them for years, and so and you have advanced in that organization in leadership roles and. And you've advanced in the Knights of Columbus in leadership roles, and I have been part of those organizations. But I the only advancements that I made is I advanced in the different degrees, like the first, second, third, and fourth degree in the Knights of Columbus. And but I haven't taken on any leadership roles in running the organization, and I probably never will because I'm getting too old now. Your example that you've set for me and for many others, and for your son's example that you set in your life, have just been wonderful and have been a great way of helping them to develop traditions in their lives. And so I am thankful to God that that you and I have a wonderful relationship and that many of my other friends that he has affiliated me with, like Dr. Joel Griffin and Ron Clayton and many other people in my life who are Dr. Joel Griffin has passed for almost 2 years now, but he has had a tremendous influence on me and many other people that we're working with in our lives. And so I appreciate him so much. And Ron Clayton, who's now the president of the board of the Hope Collection, and also is involved in many, many other organizations and in business. Oh, I'm thankful for all of that and all of the things that the good Lord has given us. He's given us so much love unconditionally. We receive love from God, and all He asks us is to believe and to pay it forward to other people, love other people and help them, and that's what He wants us to do. So I'm very thankful for that. Well, I guess we're going to end it now, Larry. I appreciate you coming on and sharing with us. And pet your puppies. Pet your puppies for us. I'll let you know when Flora's coming back. She may not be coming back till February 1st. I told her to stay there as long as she needs to, but she has to make her reservations by February the 1st to come back. So she may stay there until that day and fly back. So anyway, God bless you and God bless your family, and God bless all the people out there that are listening today, and God bless America. And I hope that we will have a change of administration next January, where Donald Trump will be our second president, second time president, we can move this country move our country into a better direction,
most definitely,
and that will help. all of us, and we'll help our children and help our grandchildren, and because we don't want to pass all this junk onto the next generations. We want to get back to the way America was started and the way that our founders wanted us to operate, because a lot of it's being thrown out at this point.
Yep.
And that's got to end. That's got to end. It's got to change. And I believe that the good Lord is helping us to make that happen. So anyway, my friend, you have a great day, and we'll be talking soon. And say hi to Josie and to Lawrence and your son Kyle, and we'll talk to you later, okay?
All right. Take care, Bob.
Yeah, you too. Bye-bye, Larry.
Bye-bye.